Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade with J.O. Covan. I'm J.O. Covan. Here, as always, minus three episodes, is producer Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Like Pee Wee's Playhouse, the magic word is producer Mike.
It's nice to be back. I'm glad that we only missed three episodes, or that you only missed three episodes, where you were sending me footage of what you were doing before we were able to reunite. And I was very proud of the fact that you were ambitious enough to try and do it without my help.
Yeah, we set up an entire this is the JL jinx at work. Laura bought me a little logo for my home studio. We got some tables to set up the camera and computer. I bought a new computer,
yeah,
some new podcasting equipment. And then two episodes in to this new venture, I get a text saying that Mike is allowed to work on outside projects. And I said, of course you are, now that I've invested thousands of dollars.
But you see, that's the JL point of view, not just the JL jinx, because you could see that as a good thing.
No, it is a good thing.
It's the ability to have me back in the fold.
No, it's an absolute good thing, but I just have to pay the JL tax.
Yeah.
Good things require a JL tax.
Right, which is an emotional tax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what's interesting, just as background, iHeartRadio that employs Mike, and for everybody who is very confused, I don't know why, that's a real job.
Yeah.
Producing my podcast is a labor of love?
Friendship.
Friendship, there it is. And so when a job that gives you money and benefits says you have to only work on our product in this space, you don't get to go, counter argument, no.
Yeah.
And so some people seem to think that you were like they're like, but why can't he? I go, because his boss says so.
Yeah, right.
That's, you know, and now
it's pretty cut and dry.
Right. And if I had any young listeners, which I don't, they would probably in that mind space of like, your boss can't just tell you what to do. Like, you have agency. And it's like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
In the words of Don Draper, that's what the money is for. So he spoke to iHeartRadio. And he asked if he could work on some outside shows, a limited few.
Mm-hmm.
And they said yes on one condition. They said, Mike, you have to assure us that the show you work on has no chance of success and that the person you're working for has no potential at rivaling anybody, really, let alone one of our products, but just somebody who is really DOA in terms of career possibilities. And Mike said, I have thought of the perfect show I can bring back. I have a friend, J.L. Covan, and they looked me up and they said to Mike, you could bring back another show. Like, you don't have to go like, you could bring back one of your other shows that's having more success than this guy. Like, you didn't have to go, like, you lowballed yourself.
What happened to Corinne and Christina?
Yeah, you lowballed yourself. Like, there are other shows in your portfolio that we would be okay with, too. And Mike said, I just want to play it safe. And just go with absolutely no threat whatsoever at any time ever. So that's how we're back. Now, Mike will only be a sort of voice of God on this show going forward.
Yeah. So for the listeners,
he was burned horribly in an industrial accident. He's a little bashful.
Yeah, I'm very disfigured. No,
only his chest hair and V-neck shirt survived.
This is a button up. Thank you very much. You're not going to see me on the mic. That was like a decision that I made. Oh, see me on the mic. See me on camera. And I'm probably not going to be as active as a voice on this show, other than today, which is like sort of a catch-up episode.
Yeah,
my first bullet
point was welcome back, Mike. You got to be part of
that.
So
I got to be a part of that for sure. But I just want to... you know, I started Slickback Studios. That's sort of a thing of the past. Not sort of. That's a thing of the past now. And as somebody that's just a little burned out on podcasting in general, my goal is to kind of really start moving completely behind the camera and you know, not be a face of anything. I don't want to be a host of anything. And obviously, we all know JL can talk for days. So I didn't think it was as necessary for me to be here as much of a co-host as it was to be, you know, here as somebody, you know, doing all the production work.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm trying to do with the rest of my life.
Great.
For now, at least.
And like, if I had an R&B album, it wouldn't be about how I could fuck all night. It'd be how I could talk all night.
That's right.
Do you remember that time? Blow out your eardrums, baby. My voice is strong.
Good to be back.
Yeah. So just to catch up my listeners, you are obviously a big Mamdani fan.
Are you
I'm
asking
only asking
seriously,
because I'm in your apartment right now and there's a giant poster that says globalize the intifada. That's I'm connecting the dots. Maybe I'm inferring too much.
Do you want me to be honest about how I feel about it?
Of course.
All right. So I am, so I think at the onset I was, and I don't think that it's really weird that it's happening. And this is the first time that this is like, I think after he actually beat, cause I never really thought he'd beat Cuomo. And
I didn't either. I did not think he was going to beat me. I figured the combination of money and anti-Muslim rhetoric and fear would have sort of buried his candidacy ventilator.
Yeah, well, I get the New York Post every day as part of my reading. And
is that what it's called? Is it you read the New York Post?
Yeah.
I think you don't slather it on yourself.
I get it more for the sports than anything. But I mean.
Well, that's, you know, and I read Gent for the articles.
Well, in this case, I remember thinking when, because I was actually a Brad Lander guy. I think that's where
I was. A progressive who with the experience.
Yeah. And also right. Probably not as extreme.
Localize the intifada. He was more of a localize.
There is this bittersweet thing with Zohan where it's a little bit like, wow, this is really happening. Like he's younger than me.
I believe Zohan you don't mess with. I think this is Zoran.
Oh, is that his Zoran? Excuse
Zohan
me.
Was the Adam Sandler character.
Mamdani, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm trying to not be offensive here, but yeah, I think that he, so it's, you know, it's weird to see it happen. It really is. It's weird to see the, I think it goes to show you that New York is a little bit younger and looking for, or at least the voters really came out for him,
yeah.
Younger voters. But it is a little weird because I do think that now the Israel thing is going to get kind of strange with him.
And how about Bibi Netanyahu?
Why? What did he say? I mean,
he stuck to his guns literally. Oh. And when you kill everybody, you win.
Yeah.
It's sort of a, you know, as Walter White, who I think had the same sort of, by mid Breaking Bad, the same sort of moral character
yeah.
as Bibi Netanyahu. No half measures, Mike Ehrmantraut. And yeah. I think Bibi Netanyahu is a great example of don't stop. It's only when you stop that they can get you. They can call you on your moral failings or your horrible things. But if you don't stop.
Yeah.
That's my. I have a Bibi Netanyahu approach to comedy.
Yeah.
I should have quit a long time ago. It is a crime against humanity what I've done to myself and loved ones. But I'm just. I will not stop. I will keep pursuing comedy until I am. Every last enemy of myself is destroyed.
Do you know what's funny? I feel like it's probably almost 2 years to the date that you and I had these first conversations about you saying, like, I think I'm done, dude.
Yeah.
in the old Slickback Studios.
It's a common refrain in my life. But I will break it to you. There are a couple of reasons why I might be done. One, I'm not prepared to discuss yet, but we talked about it off mic.
Yes. Yeah.
It's
a big one.
But I applied for a job. I read a book recently and I talked about it. Oh, what am I saying? I interviewed the author a couple of weeks ago. It's called There Is No Place for Us. I highly recommend it. It's about the working homeless in America.
Mm.
And it is, I called it an instant landmark as a book. And I guarantee you in 6 months, you're going to see this book winning like prestigious awards.
Yeah.
And I said to Laura, I said, I'm 46. Yeah, I'm still pursuing comedy. Yeah, I have some other interests and pursuits I'd like to go into, but I do have a law degree from a good law school. I have some experience as a lawyer.
Yeah.
How would I get involved, though? I'm not like fresh out of law school where I'm green. I'm not somebody who's been in the field for 15 years, the specific field, but how would I work in sort of a landlord tenant capacity for, you know, tenants, not like, oh, the penthouse in Manhattan is leaking and the landlord doesn't want to fix it. I'm suing him.
Yeah.
I'm talking people like, if without representation, they might be out on the street.
Yeah.
So how do I get involved in that? 3 days later or a week later, a posting went up that I get just for these like legal jobs.
Yeah.
They were looking for staff attorneys in this like nonprofit in the Bronx where I first started practicing law, where I was born and raised, to do this exact work.
Yeah.
So I applied for it and I interviewed a week ago, and I will know by this Friday of this week when you're listening to this, I will know by tomorrow if you're a real fan and you listen the day it comes out. I got angry when I said that. Did you see that?
Oh yeah. It's good to see you like that again.
Thank you. It still burns. The eternal flame, the Bangles. That song is really about my hatred for everything. That would be a full-time job doing something very meaningful, and comedy, especially the travel portion of it, would take a major downgrade.
Yeah.
Which is probably the best thing for me, to be honest. And I know there's fans out there who never come to shows going, oh no.
Yeah. I've been meaning to come for 16 years.
22 years, Jail. That, you know my rule. You got to get to know a comic for 23 years before you... I'm not some slut who just buys tickets to some comedian I like.
Yeah.
What am I, a Shane Gillis fan? What do you think you are? Sebastian Maniscalco? I'll just pay $500 to see you at Barclays? You know, your $15 tickets at City Winery, you got to earn that, buddy.
Yeah.
But so I am hoping to get that job and do something meaningful with my life. And at which point, you know, then you're talking, hey, 4 weeks vacation. Well, am I going to make Laura for the 10th year in a row be like, would you like to travel to a random city for 4 days and see me do comedy? No. Oh, I guess we'll just do a regular vacation to places we can both enjoy that have nothing to do with comedy. So, you know, it'll be bittersweet if I get the job, but it's like I'm 46 and it's about time I do something meaningful.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think that the themes of our lives over the last year, congruently have been moving on from some stuff. We're at different stages of our life, but I do feel like this is happening to everybody that I know around my age now.
So I'm a hack is what you're saying.
No, I'm just saying that I think that it's sort of a time and place situation with, we were talking about AI before we got on to the mic, and you're sort of mentioning about how, you know, a YouTube channel basically kind of like ripped off your stuff, turned it into an AI video
with attribution, which is why I really I'm not interested in complaining. And it tells me more about where we're going, where it's like the product matters more than the process, the production, the creativity, the artistry. People just want the finished product, and we're going to destroy art. We're on our way to destroying art.
Well, it's also beyond art. Like, I mean, you're just talking about making everything fast food. Delivery of I mean, in this case, art. But I mean, I use ChatGPT for some things, which used to essentially be part of my job. And ChatGPT saves me time on stupid things like writing copy that, you know, I don't really necessarily have to do.
Are you really Mike?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm really just make sure you're not a hologram.
No, but I do think that there is this element here of a lot of people trying to figure out what their place is going to be, because AI is being pushed to the limits right now as far as marketing goes. Everything is AI this, AI this. Try our new AI, you know, chicken sandwich. Try our new AI, whatever. And I think a lot of people, especially my age, because you have more time in, you have a law degree. It's hard to imagine that will be replaced. But I think for a lot of people in my shoes and my age, I think a lot of people are just sort of like, how much longer are we even going to be working?
I'm going to break it to you right now, because I remember you in our first iteration of Rain on Your Parade had questioned the lawyers episode, which of course did great numbers.
Yeah.
Unlike some episodes like baseball. And
the joke that will never die.
One of the things I talked about on the lawyers episode was AI replacing a lot of low level lawyers.
Yeah, right.
And it's happening.
Yeah.
That is happening. Like when in my last full time job as a lawyer at Simpson Thatcher, who cut a deal with Trump.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. couldn't you have kept me on for till then? And then I could have fired and kickstarted something.
Yeah.
But they they would have us on one of our last projects. I remember them telling us, and if you can just click this additional button when you're done, that will help, whatever they call it, like the enhanced learning system.
Yep.
And I was like, well, normally I'd fuck this up accidentally because I'm bad at this job.
Yeah.
But this time I'm doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to replace me with some Terminator.
Yeah, dude. I think it's happening everywhere.
To be clear, I didn't actually fuck up on purpose. Yeah. You got to, you know.
Yeah.
You don't want a prospective employer
performative.
Watching it and going, yeah. So you messed up on purpose. Interesting. Right. Stamp.
Right.
Failed. But that's happening. Like, that's the thing. I'm seeing my comedy career start to have to compete with artificial intelligence, people who are not comedians, but are just using tools to, I mean, fast food, turning everything into fast food is such a perfect way of phrasing it. God, we're like, work is a good question, but I, you know, as John Keating said in Dead Poets Society, I use this quote a lot and I misquote it, of course, but it was like, you know, math, science, these are the things that tell us the building blocks of life, but poetry, art, that's what life is worth, like what makes life worth living.
Yeah. You've definitely, that's been brought up at least twice
already.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But it's like,
it's true.
It's true. Yeah. And we're going to give that up in the consumption of like, entertain me. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Because there are so many things that I argue about and fight against, and people go, dude, what are you going to do? You sound like an old man. You got to give in. There is going to be this line that we cross where it's like, Jail, what are you going to do? Just sit home and let the content wash over you till you die. Jail, what are you going to do? Fight that? Yes, I have to fight that. Yeah. Why aren't you fighting that? We have to fight that.
Yeah.
That has to be fought.
Yeah.
But if we don't fight early, we'll be just like, I mean, I took a pill. I don't have to work out anymore. I took a pill. I'm fit again.
Yeah.
Great. And I sit in my chamber of content eating my pill to be fit. And now AI is there. And my sex robot comes here and gets fucked. And I'm eating of mass-produced, delivered food by some immigrant who's desperate for work, who's basically now our indentured slave. And I got to take my diet pill. Abs, got abs from the pill. What am I doing? I don't see anybody. My family's dead. I have a sex robot. I have food delivery. I have content washing over me. And then you die.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think on that note, Mike, let's take a break. And we're back. Mike, how was your first break back?
It's nice to be back, JL. It was a good break.
Oh, good, good. I haven't worn out my welcome yet. So you're like, no, the break was fun, but good to be back.
Because I've told you this. I mentioned this when we started picking this up again. I do think the fact that we're in my apartment and I don't have to commute home or, you know, walk and find a bike or anything like that is a real game changer here.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at the clock. It's 6:16 and I'm in a great mood.
Oh, nice.
By well, now, if back in the old place,
no, but
I would have been really mad.
I've only been talking for 25 minutes or so. Like, once we hit that hour, it's like a gremlin. It's like, don't talk to Mike after 60 minutes.
No, I'll be fine because you'll leave at when
it could leave it at that
40 minutes.
I'll
and
be
then
fine.
I'll,
you'll
I'll
leave
scoot right to the kitchen, make some dinner, and then that'll be that.
I some gravy. Well, we actually, as you've told me when you moved in here, you are across the street from where I lived for 11 years in
where
the city.
We recorded. Making podcasts great again originally. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, I said, let's pay the man.
Yeah.
And
someone else said, I don't think so, dude.
And the show that could have really made me an international superstar sputtered. Could add a million listeners during the pandemic. Uh-huh. Rolling in the dough, as Adele didn't say. And but we were right across the street, which is fitting because in January 2012, I broke up with somebody, I ended a great relationship and started a podcast. And if there isn't a better metaphor for podcasting, it's got out of a great relationship, started talking into a microphone by myself. Let that be a lesson, everybody. But it was across the street. And, you know, I can say that because, you know, only a few friends, a few podcast guests, and a couple dozen ladies know the address that I'm referencing. Yeah. So we're going to talk not in so many specifics, but obviously the big news affecting the country right now. We have dozens of dead girls in Texas because of a giant flood, which, as Carolyn Leavitt said, as I was watching the news today, an act of God. And don't you dare try to pin any of this on President Donald Trump. This was like she kept saying an act of God. Like, okay. For a second, I thought maybe humans could have helped in this situation, but it turns out no.
Yeah.
And I've always said with climate change, that was going to be the eventual pivot for Republicans. It started as it's a hoax.
Yeah.
Then it became, sure, there's stuff, but you're going to kill our businesses, our jobs, our industry. And it's a minimal. Okay, it's happening. Then the third phase, okay, climate change is happening. You're happy, liberal, but we can't do anything about it. The planet changes all the time.
Yeah.
A lot of changes in the planet. And then we would eventually get to the final phase, the final boss, which is, well, it's God's plan. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
It's in God's hands now. Jesus, take the wheel. And I'm a church going fella, but it's like, this has been the most predictable course we've ever been on, which is eventually they'll admit it's happening and go, I'm going to go to my church and say, Lord, deliver us from this the way you delivered Noah from his travails at sea. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
So did they fire people? And you have to concede it's possible that it had nothing to do with cuts. Like I'm not saying directly it had, but if Joe Biden had fired a bunch of people and then a bunch of girls died in Texas, I feel like it would have been his fault. Am I wrong? I think it would have been his fault.
I don't know that you're wrong about it.
In fact, glad you asked, Mike. I saw some psychopath right-wing commentator on social media blaming Joe Biden. What, for something while he was not? No, for this. That there must be someone holdover, a secret Biden holdover at NOAA who sabotaged this or didn't give the warning because they wanted to see a bunch of dead Texan girls.
Oh, good God. Isn't that crazy?
So Biden doesn't, it actually doesn't have to be Biden as president. He laid the sleeper cells because he's Sleepy Joe.
Right.
Laid the sleeper cells for the undoing of red states.
Yeah.
Not fossil fuels, not firing people. Joe Biden, mentally diminished, sleepy old man. But cunning as a fox.
Yeah. Sleeper cell mastermind.
Yeah. Sleeper cell. Only woke up to put America in a sleeper hold. Next on Hannity. So that's, I don't want to make light of a fucking tragedy.
No, of course.
But I do think we are at the point in the game where when a school gets shot up, Trump deaths.
Yeah.
Trump gun deaths. We're done with the... Guys, dignified approach. Let them keep fucking us in the ass in a dignified manner. This is not the time. Just keep getting destroyed as a country and as a people. Right? We're on board with... No, we're not? Oh, call it out? Okay, we're going to call it out. I just had a brain trust decision. We're going to say... So when there's a school shot up, those are Trump shootings. Those are Trump school shootings. When he fires people in charge of tracking storms, and then those storms kill more people than they should, that's a Trump tropical storm death.
Yeah.
A MAGA flood massacre. Yeah. MFM. That's just how it has to be. You can no longer play the game the nice way. You know, Barry Bonds, Hall of Fame player, saw other people taking steroids, took steroids.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do now.
But don't mention baseball though.
No, they already stopped. But I mentioned baseball before and they stopped. The podcast, like
the people who would have jumped already jumped.
They jumped.
Yeah.
Ah, no.
Baseball, no. OPS. Oh, no.
Aaron Judge, though. So good.
He's a beast. MVP.
And Otani. So good.
Yeah.
So good. Sorry.
You got to get away from baseball. We got to get it. We've learned our lesson.
Politics, everybody. Politics. Trump. Algorithm. Trump. Okay, we're back. But the big, beautiful bill I wanted to talk about on this episode, and I know it passed, like this is, or, oh, this is old news, but I just, it's some of the things they do in this bill. It's very interesting. They're like, tax cuts immediately, keep the tax cuts. I find it very odd that you can raise taxes, the effective tax rate on people making under $50,000 a year, and lower it for people who are making like over $400,000 a year. It's like,
well, why? What's your problem with that?
As somebody currently not making over $400,000 a year, I have a big problem with that. Pandemic me might have been like, bah.
Yeah.
But as soon as that pandemic was, money was over, I was like, hey, hey, I'm a Bernie bro. But it's there are so many things without going through it item by item that I just found. First of all, I think he did a big, beautiful bill because he's lazy. Like, he branded it. He's good at branding. He's good at branding for stupid people. And there's a lot of stupid people. So the, yeah, call it the big, beautiful bill. And, you know, everything is a children's book for Trump. And somehow we attribute that to genius. But Trump goes to the office. Trump doesn't want to do work. Trump says, Congress, give me a big, beautiful bill. Hey, Daddy, that's the title of the book. And so Trump went and golfed, and he called Mike Johnson and said, where's my big, beautiful bill? And Mike Johnson took the penis out of his ass and texted his son, son, I was watching porn, sorry, and said to the president, we'll get your bill, sir. And the poor people were worried, but they trusted in Trump. And the rich people were worried that maybe Trump would listen to some of those poor people who voted for him. But then one day, they all woke up and realized, hey, Trump hates poor people. He's disgusted by them. And the whole Republican group got together, even the ones who at first said, we don't like this bill. They got together and said, fuck them. We all hate poor people. And the big, beautiful bill was passed. So he puts things like the tax cuts will just renew right away. But then certain cuts will happen like a year from now and then after the midterms. And it's so cynical. But the problem that we have, and I know everybody's going to go, but Democrats had nothing to do with this. They were unified in their opposition to this bill. And they'll say, but Democrats aren't communicating. Yes, they are. Yes, the New York Times, every Democrat that can talk is saying this is horrible. This is a shit show. Some Republicans were saying it and then voted for it.
Yeah.
But you know who's not saying it? Fox News, yeah. Newsmax, OAN. Now, the question there for everybody who's going, the Democrats who are going, I saw people blaming Joe Biden for this. And I go, there's got to be an expiration date on the, this is Joe Biden's fault.
We got to be close.
It's got to,
I mean, we're coming up, we're not that far
when
from
Vlad
a year.
When Putin nuked Washington, D.C., yeah, it became very Biden? Clear that Joe Biden's backing of Ukraine is what really led to this.
Yeah.
I think the thing we have to come to, and this, I joked about Mamdani earlier. I had a video that I put out, and people who only read the title was provocative. It says, here's why Democrats need Cuomo and Mamdani.
Hmm.
And it was in the spirit of, and I don't think Game of Thrones is the wrong analogy. Did you ever watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Okay, great show.
Yeah.
By the end of the show, there came a point where the White Walkers, that mm-hmm. was like the, these are the overarching villains that everybody's got to be united. Even the piece of shit that, you know, the incestuous murderers and the good folk all have to come together because this is it. This is an existential crisis to existence.
Right.
So fight and kill and maim in your own time after we are done with this.
Yeah.
I view the MAGA movement, they are literally and figuratively the White Walkers. And there comes a point where, you know, my mom, I'll say it here, was a she's a Clinton Cuomo type Democrat, yeah, but she always votes Democrat. When Obama beat Hillary in 08, she was pissed for about a week, then became a big Obama cheerleader.
Yeah.
So the way she is. But you get to have your own preference. That's what a primary is for. That's And I don't mind anybody. You like Mamdani? You like Bernie? You like Hillary? You like Cuomo? You like anybody in between? Great. We've lost this plot, though. And the big, beautiful bill has to, it has to stay in the news, not for Republicans. We have to stop treating people who go to Fox and OAN and Newsmax for their news religiously as gettable. Because, yes, you can have Pete Buttigieg there and he can talk to people, and that's great. Gavin Newsom can go on there, talk circles around. That's great. I think that's valuable if you can pick off every vote counts. But in the aggregate, where the country is so much greater a majority, Democrats, independents, and non-voters, non-MAGA voters, whether they be Democrats, independents, or non-voters, that mobilizing those, that gigantic majority has to be the mission. No longer this mission of like, well, we're not communicating. If you love the big, beautiful bill as it fucking guts your life, bye.
Yeah, right.
Bye. You're done. Goodbye. Bon voyage. You're gone.
Yeah.
You're gone. I'm sorry. That's it. We need to treat MAGA as the White Walkers. It's if you're a Cuomo person, just to use New York as an example, because that's always the example. It's like these corporate Democrats or blah, blah, these progressives, they're not going to get anything done. You know, Obama was a good example of somebody who really inspired a lot of people. And then they can say disappointed. But he used the inspirational rhetoric to move the country as far as it could go on health insurance.
Right.
Not where we wanted it, as far as it could go.
Yeah.
And without the ability to talk and motivate the centrist Democrats,
he would have never been a Hollywood producer.
Yeah, Netflix. And also to inspire and make people believe and jump on board. We can't keep looking at these things as losses. The big beautiful bill, that's what a loss is.
Right.
That's a loss. Hopefully we're clear now. Big beautiful bill, that's a fucking L.
Yeah.
That's what an L looks like, not Obamacare.
Yeah.
Obamacare is a win where you don't cover the spread.
Right.
So the Democratic gambling junkies are like, I had Medicare for all. I had the spread being Medicare for all. Instead, it's just Medicare for a few more people.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a win.
Yeah.
This is what a loss looks like. And I think we need to realize, and I made the argument, I said, I'm not talking about Cuomo specifically. I know he's got allegations, but please, I hate to say this. I refuse to treat Cuomo as the same as Trump.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I went to law school. I'm a lawyer. Sexual harassment, sexual assault, and the other stuff that Trump may or may not have done. We don't want to get sued. Brr, 60 minutes caving. ABC. That's fucking disgusting, by the way. 60 minutes, shame on you. That's right. I'm calling you out. Settling a case that was frivolous because they want to merge with Skydance. So they settled a frivolous bullshit case with Trump, $16 million to make it go away. You're Paramount. You got to stand up.
Paramount is not in the, that's why they're merging.
I canceled my Paramount Plus subscription. Was it because there weren't a lot of things I was watching anyway? Maybe.
Yeah, they don't have much for me other than South Park, I think, at this point.
But I say it was because of principle. it made it easy. It made it easy to like be like, well, I can afford to keep Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
But I don't need it. And I really don't need it now.
Yeah.
If you're complete cowards, because what kind of, anyway, I said Cuomo represents the somewhat corporate, somewhat scummy.
Yeah.
But somewhat effective.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I'm just saying, if you bring something to the table to the Democratic Party, in Mondani's case, guess what? A lot of voters, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy.
Mm.
Cuomo, a lot of old Irish and Italian ladies who vote. More centrist, more think that Trump is a bully and want somebody, you know, who can punch him.
Yeah.
Metaphorically. That's not an unreasonable thing to want. And we as Democrats, I think, need to realize until this country is on some sort of normal path where we're not passing bills that are just so nakedly offensive, A, to some of the people who voted for Trump, but B, to the country. We have to realize, Democrats have to just say, I will give Cuomo the middle finger every day once we're done with MAGA. And I will tell Mamdani, you pipe dreaming anti-Semite. I know, I'm not saying I believe that. I'm just saying I'm taking the viewpoint of like each one's.
Did you get that from the New York Post on the couch?
Yeah. Most vile opinions of the opposing spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I gave money to Bernie Sanders and I voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. Like, because I liked that he moved the message. But if you can't get the most votes, moving the message is valuable, but then you need to get on board, because this idea that we have now, because you can only talk to Democrats at this point, or only can talk to non-MAGA voters. If you're down with Trump in 2025, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Like, I think you're pretty terrible.
Yeah.
I think you're a pretty terrible person at this point, if that's in some capacity. Yeah. Like, or have the effect of a terrible person. You're either so thick or brainwashed, or you're just a bad person. But either way, you know, to quote Ace from Casino, either way, I cannot have you here. But we're still in this civil war bullshit where I think everybody sees an opportunity. Like, the party's up for grabs, so I got to get it for me and mine and my wing. I say whoever gets it. Mamdani's got the nomination in New York. If I were in New York, I might have been a Brad Lander voter. I don't know. But I'd be voting for Mamdani.
Mm.
Because and like I know, and there will be some people who say, I think his anti-Semitism is horrible. I would first say, I don't know that I subscribe to that. I don't know that I'm on the, yeah, he's an anti-Semite. That's one. So I'm maybe not with you on that. Trump's a worse anti-Semite. And I know that doesn't, I'm just saying, once again, if I accept what you tell me as your reason, my answer goes, anybody backing MAGA, worse anti-Semite by proxy or by association. And they go, but he's got Jewish grandkids. I guarantee you can't name them. I'd love that to be the cognitive test. What are your grandkids' names? Shlomo. I know one's a Jew. They're all Jewish. Oh, they're all Jewish because Ivanka did the fake conversion therapy. Did she go to conversion therapy camp? Is that what that is? And then they eat the matzah on Passover. Okay, well, they're deals. And I say slurs in rallies. Did you see the one he said recently?
No.
He referred to some Jewish lawyers as Shylocks.
That's ridiculous.
Or Jewish bankers.
Yeah.
Just at a rally. Yeah. And they were like, yeah. Good one, Trump. Pro-Israel.
Very strange, man.
But like, I think he's a class. Like, I think he is a racist, a sexist, an anti-Semite. I think he's all of those things. But he's got some charisma and he's transactional.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like saying, you know, Thomas Jefferson couldn't be racist. He was raping black women.
Yeah.
That's kind of the MAGA philosophy. Like, if he were really racist, he would have only been raping white chicks.
Yeah.
But the woke left will have you think that our founding father was a racist when he was dipping his pen in the pudding, if you know what I mean, and not vanilla. I just think I don't know how to rally all non-MAGA people to the mission. And people will say, beating Trump is not good enough. Why not? Why not? I still don't understand. Look at what Trump does. Look what Trump does when you let him go. He does things that are bad for so many people in so many ways. On top of that, he's also a bad person. So you don't get to have he's a good guy doing his best. No, he's a bad guy doing his worst.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't in any situation unless, well, but Democrats are upset. And that's my main voting issue. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
So my main thing going forward for this show, and we'll be more specific in our topics, of course, like I have been in the three episodes pre-reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Will that be like a show? Those would be like the lost episodes. Yeah. They'll be like
the basement tapes.
You know, that was when Gary Cherone took over for Van Halen for that very brief time. Wholehearted.
Man, there is some really terrible Van Halen songs. Holy shit.
More than words. That's on Van Halen. That's, yeah, no.
But extreme, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I just, my thesis going forward, I think, for the next year is, you don't like this person, you don't like this person. I don't believe in finding a middle ground between MAGA and the Democrats.
Right.
Like, that middle ground is half wrong.
Right.
2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 10. Ah, fuck it. 2 + 2 = 7. Wrong.
Yeah.
The middle ground has to be a buy-in from corporate centrist Democrats, left very progressive Democrats, a middle ground there, and then that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. If that middle ground gets 50.1% of Democrats, progressives, et cetera, then that's the path forward. And when you take back control and power and steer the country back in a humane direction, now let's have the fights. Let's have more fights about the specific direction and specific things that need to be hammered out, and how much Medicare people should, you know,
right,
should be distributed. How much is housing an emergency in this country? How much do we need to fund that? How hard do we fight climate change? But you can't negotiate with the, we don't fight climate, right, change. And we have to, and I just think Democrats, progressives, independents need to just get on board and find a path forward to fight MAGA. Because now we see, you know, we see. MAGA doesn't see. There's a lot of people going still on faith that Trump will do the right thing. But that's going forward now that Mike's back and I can be unleashed and not worry about all the techie stuff. That's what this podcast is going to be about for the next year. In different facets, we'll be funny, we'll be fun, we'll be serious, we'll be specific on some issues, general on others like this one. But the Big Beautiful Bill is a disgrace, and everyone who knows about it has to realize the threat that MAGA and continuing MAGA and all these MAGA morons in Congress who are not doing their job. They are rubber stamps for Trump. They fight, they hem and haw, and they are rubber stamps. So Donald Trump is the Speaker of the House. He is the president. He is the Senate leader. And that has to be the fight. And that's what we're going to do here. We're going to fight. And we'll be back with Comedy Talk after this. This is Bill Maher, by the way, in case you guys are going, why is he doing that? And we're back with Comedy Talk. Mike, be honest. How little did you miss Comedy Talk?
Can I quit again?
That's right, folks. It's Comedy Talk because let's not forget, I've wasted 22 years of my life doing comedy. So I have to dedicate a small slice of this show every week to comedy because it makes me go home and go, I'm glad I wasted decades. At least it's still part of my life. Punchdown of the week, folks. People love it. This is not a classic Punchdown of the week, but I felt like it needed to be shared. I did a YouTube video a few days ago called Donald Trump Announces White House UFC Fights. That's true.
Wait, really?
Yeah. In 2026, as part of the 250th anniversary of America, we're going to have UFC fights at the White House.
Really?
Yeah. Dana White, White House.
I know they're friends. Yeah.
But white, it's right there.
White people in the octagon.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you'll have like an Iranian fighting a black guy, you know, and I guess MAGA will be hoping both men die in the ring.
Yeah.
Or the octagon, excuse me, the octagon. But this is a comment that had really little to do with my video, but I had to share it. It's a kind of an emotional punch down. This person wrote, "It's funny, but it's too sad to watch. Thanks, JD. Loved your stuff for years, but now's the time to just run away. Be safe."
They called you JD.
Thank you for picking up on that. I hoped I gave enough emphasis on my name was Jean-Louis, but I have catered like an Indian foreign exchange student who comes here and gives up on idiot Americans learning and pronouncing their real name. You know, my name is call me Jim.
Yeah.
Right, I figured right. JL was pretty safe. It's two letters. They're fairly common, you know?
Yeah.
My initials are on every single YouTube video and on the channel and wherever I comment, JL.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my name doesn't have a D anywhere in it. There's no D in Jean-Louis Covin
mm-hmm.
or JL Covin. So I just simply wrote back to them, if I may.
You didn't have it ready?
I did. I had to unlock my screen again, sadly. Oh, it needs me to... great. Anyway, what I wrote, I'll paraphrase. It's J. I numbered it because I thought that was very passive aggressive. One, it's JL. Didn't think that was so hard. Two, you don't have to officially resign your post of watching free YouTube videos. But this is kind of what we were talking off mic about art and things, where there are moments where it's just one person. But the reason this is a punch down of the week is it's punching down my life.
Mm-hmm.
Not really the joke, but it's sort of a, I've been watching your stuff for years, JD. Okay. Not very carefully, it seems.
Yeah.
And then the idea of, you know, I've had people write to me and say, somebody wrote the other week, this was like kind of a tie for Punchdown of the Week. They were like, this guy is so good. I've been ignoring his videos for years because it's just too accurate, but I should watch his stuff again.
It's hilarious.
Great. Only I could be so good that my fans boycott me on grounds of goodness.
Yeah.
On grounds of talent. I will no longer be supporting JL. What? So that's more like a punch down of a life.
Yeah.
Not just of a week, but we're keeping the branding punch down of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, you know, yes, I will no longer be watching your videos. Okay. Thanks. Are you fleeing the war torn, fields of YouTube that you can be safe. Thank you. Well, thank you for abandoning me.
Yeah.
To the devils of YouTube comments. So that was the punchdown of the week, everybody. It's only I could lose fans. Why? Because I'm too mean? No, because I'm too good.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Gene Wilder, my father's favorite line from Willy Wonka, the original with Gene Wilder, dips his finger in what looks like a boiling cauldron. Ah! Oh, what was it? Too hot? No, too cold. And then they keep moving. And he meant it. He was like, it was too cold.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about my fans. So thank you. Who am I kidding? You don't watch or listen. You're a fan. Special. Mike, special of the week. I was looking for a new one to watch. I actually gave Gerard Carmichael a very positive review for his fourth special last week.
Mm.
Which, you know, we've spoken of my feelings of his comedy leading up to this. But it was actually solid. It was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, it's almost like if you spent 13 years working as a comedian, getting great opportunities.
You develop.
You're pretty good.
Yeah.
Going up on stage 2 years in with notes with Spike Lee directing might not be that great an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, I watched Jim Norton. His new special is called Unconceivable on YouTube. Gave it a whirl. Figured, okay, we'll see. We'll see what I know. Jim Norton. Jim Norton, just for to educate the viewers, he's an Opie and Anthony. He's a kind of an edgy, right-leaning, right wing, I'd say. Right-wing, but not in the current sense of like pandering to get Trump fans to love him.
He was like an OG libertarian, kind of.
He's an OG, I hate Al Sharpton, kind of a comic. Like it wouldn't shock me if he was a teenager throwing watermelons at Sharpton and Jesse Jackson in like Queens in 1984. I'm not saying he did. I'm just saying there is a certain ilk.
Yeah.
There's a certain, let's just say Patrice O'Neill, not diminishing their real friendship.
Yeah.
Patrice O'Neill has been a racism bodyguard
for a lot of those guys.
A lot of comics. Yeah. You know, like he was the left tackle for a lot of KKK quarterbacks, protecting their blind side from decency.
Yeah.
But Jim Norton, who I've always found to be a very talented comic, and unlike a Nick DiPaolo, let's say, who I think has aged very poorly. He has leaned into being basically like a MAGA comic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jim Norton is where he's always been. Whether you like it or not, I don't see a big shift one way or the other. You know, and that almost makes him seem less offensive because there's so many comics who have decided to kind of pander and be like, trans. DEI, trans. Kamala Harris fucks guys.
Yeah.
Slut. Right. Gutfeld. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of the, like, you know, we've discussed this before, you know, being a catcher is the fastest way to the majors because fewer people want to do it.
Yep.
Being a pandering right wing, you know, not nonsense deliverer. Very, very a glide path has developed in that lane. Mm-hmm. So this special I'm watching, and I'm laughing early on. He's not really getting into too much politics. You know, I remember on one of his albums that I bought a long time ago, he did this joke about being on a flight with Al Sharpton. And he was like, it's the only time I ever wanted a plane to crash. Because I could imagine the plane going down, just being like, oh. And I thought, not my politics, but an objectively funny joke. If you replace it with somebody, now I'm not equating Al Sharpton and like Donald Trump. Yeah. I don't think they're the same at all. But if you replace it, at least you can see the humor.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So he's not really getting into politics a lot in this special, but I'm laughing and I'm just kind of admiring for the first 20 minutes or so. Excuse me. Vamp.
What do you want me to say?
I'm good. Thank you. great save. I'm watching it going, okay, this is just a guy. This is reminding me of what a real comedian, a guy who's been at it 30 years, who gets up every night, who's working on his material as a craft. You know, this is what I'm watching. I'm watching a guy who is a craftsman. Like it or not, it felt good to be watching somebody that I said, this isn't an influencer. This isn't a guy who should be featuring getting his first theater gig. This is a craftsman still at work. And if it were just a guy of his talent, this special would be Netflix instead of YouTube, you know, so or a streamer. But then halfway through, he talks about Jim Norton. This is a spoiler, but some of his fans obviously knew this. And I had heard this. His wife is trans, which, of course, is already a sort of whoa, just in terms of that space. And what I love about it is he never does anything that isn't true to him and the comedian that I've known and sort of appreciated. There's never a we're gonna get serious here now, folks,
right?
Or I'm gonna get real political. He acknowledges that, yeah, some people will say some shit, but she's got thick skin. She's the, you know, there is this acknowledgement of the political realities without going into the this is my I have a trans wife special, even though I think Unconceivable is a reference to, he makes a joke halfway through. He goes, me and my wife were trying real hard to get pregnant. And then he goes, I can tell how many people really are fans by when they start laughing at this bit. And he does a joke at one point. There were a few I really laughed out loud, like really laughed out loud. Now, it might be a little graphic for some people, some of it, but not really. I'm telling you, this is, if you don't like Jim Norton's politics, this is the special you should watch, because it doesn't really get too political. And if you're a fan of just good old fashioned stand-up comedy, it's a great, quick witted, sharp, crafted special. But when he says something to the effect of, now let me tell you something, if any of you guys get insecure when your wife makes more money than you, now he's referencing the fact that his wife has a bigger dick than him. Mm-hmm. It's done. It's so funny the way he sets it up. And I hate giving that away. But it's funny throughout. I just thought, this is such a great example of what stand-up comedy can be. He's making the point. He's making this like minor step for progress, for sure. But never, ever announcing it, stepping out of the stand-up realm. This is fire for 56 minutes or whatever. And it never becomes the, and I said to that guy, that's my wife. Mm-hmm. Never. He makes fun of her. It's great. And it's, I feel like it should be getting more notice, But we don't live in that world, I think. You know, if a progressive, if Hari Kondabolu did a special about having a trans wife, you know, then he'd have to get a Presidential Medal of Freedom from the next Democratic president. And I just bring him up as somebody who's like kind of in that progressive comedy space. W. Kamau Bell, whoever you want to mention, that's sort of like, yes, they're on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the wrong side, which is what, and I put that in air quotes, he's on the wrong side, which is what makes it so great. And his commitment, it's, you know, you, if you're an asshole, if you ditch him because you don't like the fact that he has a trans wife, and you're an asshole if you don't watch and appreciate his story because he's kind of an Opie and Anthony comic. I don't like those guys. That's what makes it so good. And it's just top shelf work from a great comedian. So go check it out on YouTube. I'm sorry I spoiled one of the great jokes in it, but it's one joke and it's got 100 great jokes in the just under an hour. So that's it, everybody. We're back. I suck at this. Producer Mike is here. I love it. Thank you. If I see the numbers dip this week, he's fired. Thanks, everybody. We are back. And I will see you next Thursday.